Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're along for the ride with us this afternoon on AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. And very excited to have our next guest in the sports bar.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest games in years for the Buffalo Bills coming up on Sunday, of course. 10-2 Baltimore, 9-3 Buffalo. Joining us, longtime writer for the Buffalo News, Vic Carucci, joining us. Vic, appreciate your time. Let's jump right into it. When this team was back at St. John Fisher College over the summer, could you envision this team getting to where they are right now?
I can't say that I envisioned this, you know, type of scenario, especially when you looked at the schedule and so forth. But I also can't say that I saw Baltimore being the kind of team that they are. So that would be part of the thought process. But I am on record as picking the Bills to have a 9-win season, which means I thought they would be good enough to contend at least for a wild card spot or be right on the fringes of that. But they've surpassed that. I mean, you know, with 9 wins and 4 games remaining, obviously they're in a whole different place. And looking at the whole landscape of the AFC and the AFC East, I see a team that's really graduated to a level that you could consider them. If you can't call them elite, you might be able to do so after Sunday.
Yeah, it feels like they're respectable right now, but they could take that leap to elite. They could be a top five team in the NFL if they upset the Ravens on Sunday. Vic, what do you think needs to happen for the Buffalo Bills to do that unthinkable task of beating what right now looks like the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, well, A, I don't think it's that unthinkable. I'm expecting the Bills to win this game, so I kind of gave that away. But I would tell you that what has to be done, the list, starts with the obvious. You know, don't let Lamar Jackson just tear you up the way he's torn up so many other teams. And obviously that's, again, the plan going in to contain him. Do you stop him? Do you hold him to where he's not noticeable? That does seem unthinkable or impossible. But I think it's doable to keep him in check with the combined talents that he has as a runner and a thrower. People forget how well he has thrown the ball this year. Leads the league with 25 touchdown passes. In addition to all that he's done with his legs, and it's a matter of trying to, again, play some containment. I think you're better off forcing the throwing because at least you're keeping him in one spot. Just like Josh Allen, once a guy breaks containment and breaks the pocket and crosses that line, and the ability he has to avoid tacklers and the speed he has to run away from people makes him, I think, even more dangerous and allows the Ravens to pick up those critical first downs, either conversions or just getting them in scoring position and keeping them in a good place. Beyond that, don't let the rest of the running game that isn't named Lamar Jackson trample you, because that can happen too. They've got some great backs there, Mark Ingram being, of course, one of them. But you look at what they have as an offensive line, Marshall Yanda and company. That is a big, bruising, powerful, physical line. We've seen the Bills, we've seen opponents get the better of the Bills up front in that regard, and I think that's something to look at. And of course, can they play the game that they played on Thanksgiving Day, where Ezekiel Elliott gets 56 yards in the first quarter and then 15 yards the rest of the way? That's pretty good dominance. 23 rushing yards by an awful Dolphins running game, but still, those are the types of things that give you some sense of optimism that they can hold their own there. And then, you know, the other, well, two other items on the list I have of what you need to do. The Ravens defense is really good, and Wink Martindale is a tremendous coordinator. He's going to try to twist Josh Allen's brain into a knot, as other coordinators have. He's good at that. He's got some talent back there that they've built steadily and methodically with the additions they've made. Marcus Peters being one of the key in the secondary. So, you know, to just hold your own and not let that defense force the mistakes, force the turnovers that the Bills have not been making lately. Lastly, special teams, you know, it's been shaky ride with Steven Hauschka and that kicking game. So that has to be as close to perfect, if not perfect, as possible.
Josh Allen, if we could talk about Josh for a second here, Vic, are we ahead of the curve as far as his development? Where do you think we are at here, year two, in the development of Josh Allen?
Yeah, I don't know if it's ahead of the curve. I feel like the seventh overall pick should look the way he's looking at this point. And I think most of it is the natural progression that I think a quarterback does make in year two. And a lot of people like Bill Polian and others said that's what you look for in a quarterback, to be a better player in year two than he was in year one. And that's happening, of course, on the other side of the field Sunday with Jackson. I would say then that beyond that, he's been helped a great deal by the coaching. I think Brian Daboll has done a great job of developing trust. You know, you could argue that maybe this should have come around sooner, but to go to this hurry-up, no-huddle attack, and which puts more on the plate of the quarterback to know what he's doing at the line of scrimmage, to make calls and adjustments, the rest of your offense, the line especially, knowing that they do a lot of things on the fly, and then overall the conditioning, the stamina to hold up on that and wear down a defense, all of that is something that Daboll finally believed his offense was ready to use, and they're using it effectively.
Expand on coaching a little bit with us, Vic. Vic Carucci, Buffalo News, joining us here in the Sports Bar, because on Thursday it was clear Buffalo flat out outcoached Dallas. And even something as subtle as Brian Daboll going up into the booth, you know, and calling plays from up there, seems like that's had an impact. In a way, it feels like it's kind of unleashed Josh Allen, given a little bit more freedom and allows him to play a little bit more relaxed. But you also have, on the defensive side of the ball, these adjustments that you mentioned. You know, the idea that Zeke goes off in the first quarter and you clamp down on him the rest of the game. You saw it earlier this season against the Giants and Saquon Barkley. The Bills coaching staff this year, short of remarkable.
It's been really an impressive part of this entire story of where this team is at 9-3. Coaching's a big part of it. There is no coincidence that the offense has played better, Allen especially, in those three games now that Daboll has been up in the booth and seeing things from that high up perspective that I think just gives you a better look, feel, to push those right buttons. And it speaks to Sean McDermott as well as Daboll to figure this out, or at least, you know, give it a try, because they were desperate. That Cleveland game seemed like a bottoming out. After that Cleveland game, I would say even the staunchest Allen supporters had to wonder if the Bills in fact had the right guy to be the franchise player. 14 points on offense was, you know, pathetic. And yes, you had a better, a Browns defense that's capable of playing well and playing that level of football. But I still, Myles Garrett, you know, was in that game, obviously, before he ends up suspended. But I would say that was a moment where you just, And the Bills did a lot of internal reflection as well. Like, something's really wrong here, and they've set out to fix it. Defensively, Leslie Frazier, in collaboration with Sean McDermott, I mean, Frazier, the defensive coordinator, has just, I think, done an excellent job of getting the most out of young people like Ed Oliver. You saw him play really his best career game, of course, against Dallas. But have the, you know, they had the confidence and the courage to take the ninth overall pick out of the starting lineup, limit his snaps, let him watch, let him stew perhaps while Jordan Phillips took over as the starter. And I think that motivated, there's no question that motivated Oliver. And one could say maybe it's a simple case of a contract year for Shaq Lawson to play as well as he's playing and the spark that he has as a pass rusher. But you could add to that that there's coaching behind that too. And I, you know, I sense from Shaq that he has bought into what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are looking for from players. Not so sure he, in fact, I'm fairly positive he didn't quite get that. And his maturity also was part of that, or lack thereof. And I think he's grown up quite a bit as a player.
Vic Carucci, Buffalo News, our guest here in the Sports Bar. If the Bills coaches are doing these great things, well, we're entering the season where there's going to be teams making changes. What do you think of the possibility of the Bills losing perhaps one or both of their coordinators coming up this offseason?
You know, that's a fair question. I think there's going to be some demand. You know, short of anything really going off the rails on either side of the ball these next 4 weeks, and then, you know, I think we're looking at more than 4 weeks of football ahead of us. I firmly believe this team is in the postseason, and then the question becomes, you know, could they be a division champion? And I think that, too, would raise the stock of those coaches, especially because that's a possibility. The Patriots are going, it seems, in the opposite direction of where the Bills are. Lots of concern in New England, and rightfully so. And I think we'll see, conceivably, if Buffalo wins this game, and it's conceivable that New England could lose against Kansas City, here are the Bills controlling their own destiny to win the division championship. Let that marinate in your brain a little bit. Let you know, get your mind wrapped around that, because that's like stunning, but that's real, that they can do this. With help, but I mean, from another loss besides beating the Patriots. But if the Bills, you know, do a run of the table, and the Pats lose an additional game besides the Buffalo game to KC, there's a division that is literally sitting there for the taking for Buffalo. Now, can that, you know, and who's the final opponent? The Jets at home. But I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but you asked me about, you know, those coaches. And I'd say Leslie Frazier, who had his kick at the can as a head coach, is a well-respected guy. What he's done with this defense is getting noticed. And Brian Daboll, what he's done in a short time with Josh Allen has the adjustment he made this year is definitely drawing a lot of attention around the league.
Vic, I mean, we joke. We're trying to get used to talking about a team that's good, a team that could, you know, run the table, a team that could win the AFC East if they had a little help and they win out, a team that could go as far as the number one seed and have home field advantage. I mean, these are all things that are possible. It's early December. We're not used to having these types of conversations.
Right.
It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, and you know, to go, which takes us back to where our conversation started. You know, what were we thinking about as we were standing on that St. John Fisher sideline watching practices? You know, you saw things that could develop, but by no means did I see the kinds of things we were talking about. I'd be lying to you if I said I saw that. But again, I had a high expectation enough to say that they were three wins better than a year ago. There's some people who doubted that and said at best they're a 6 or 7 win team this year. I know there was a lot of national concern on that, but you return 10 guys on defense, 10 starters, and a big piece is missing in Kyle Williams, but I believe they have, you know, found enough answers there. And the other thing offensively to take into account is what it takes to get 9 new guys on the offense to figure out their roles. And, you know, not to mention, and, you know, we've talked about Josh and the O-line, 4 new starters and the receivers and the tight end. And how about the running backs? I mean, how about Devin Singletary? How about Frank Gore and what they've done? All of that has actually been, in one form or another, very impressive.
Vic Carucci, Buffalo News, joining us. Part of the equation, if the Bills are going to have this magical run. Kansas City, New England. Vic, I don't know if you've given any thought to how that game might play out, but I want to believe this is the beginning of the end for New England.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. Talk me into this, Vic, or maybe not. What are your thoughts on that New England-Kansas City matchup?
I think you got to trust your eyes. My eyes told me what I saw Sunday night was an unraveling of this Patriot team. And I don't care. The sideline yelling of Brady, the emotion, yelling at those receivers and all that, that isn't what really does it for me. I know some people have taken that to mean more than it probably really does. The basics are what mean something to me. And the basics are that I see Tom Brady not being as quick to do things. So the immediate counter argument by Patriot fans or those who just want to think that I'm not seeing the full picture is he doesn't have anybody to throw to. People aren't getting open. Well, it looked like, and I did take another look at that game, and I saw opportunities that I've seen tighter windows where Tom has thrown that football in the past and is not doing it now. Now, could that, again, be stemming from his lack of trust in who's running those routes? Perhaps. And avoidance of mistakes, the Patriot mantra, don't kill yourself, let the other team beat itself, could be part of that. But I think when you're an offense that needs to do as much as it can, he's got to be the one. And I think there isn't as much trust that he has in his arm. I don't think there's as much trust that he has in his feet to push off. He's in incredible shape and to play at the level he can still play at 42 is remarkable, but is it good enough for the dominance that this team has had? And like the Bills, their schedule has been soft and gotten them to a good place, just as the Bills' schedule has gotten them to a good place. You could be critical about all those the so-called tomato can wins that they had earlier, Buffalo, but that puts you in the position for us to have the conversation we're having now about Buffalo, just as New England is still in position to win a division again and be a top seed in the AFC again. But I don't like a lot of what I see from them there. And from a defensive standpoint, as dominant as it has been, as impressive as it has been, I think you lean on a defense heavily enough, eventually you're going to start to see some cracks. I don't see the defense dealing with the run all that well. I think you can have some success there, and that's something that the Chiefs could look to exploit. And then flipping back over to the offense, the other thing that Brady doesn't have is the consistency of an effective run game. They have tried to mix and match and move parts around. And again, I know he's dealing with some guys that have not been on that team long. He definitely misses Rob Gronkowski like nobody's business, but it's not the New England team that we all know. And so opportunity is knocking.
Vic, it is an absolute treat to have you on with us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We really welcome, respect you and thank you so much for giving us some of your time. Before we let you go, make sure you let our listeners know what you're working on this week at the Buffalo News.
Yes, well, I appreciate that and appreciate being with you guys as well. You do a wonderful job. As far as some of the interesting things that we're talking about at the Buffalo News, check out our website, of course. And if you're not a subscriber, we've been running some really good deals for those who want to get on board. But the return of Flutie Flakes after 20 years, yeah. The 20th anniversary. And I just did if you want to also go on our website, I had a lengthy Q&A with Doug prior to this announcement of the revival of Flutie Flakes. And, of course, he's going to be part of that whole leading the charge thing before Sunday's game against the Ravens. But we had a long conversation about the Buffalo fan base, and he has a lot to say, or a very interesting thing to say anecdotally, about Rochester. So you might want to check that out.
Oh, beautiful. Vic, is fun talking meaningful football with you in the month of December. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Vic delivering what's called in the industry a compelling tease right there, too. What did Doug Flutie have to say about Rochester?
Yeah, now we got to find out.
Compelling. Good tease.
Well, I mean, is that the Wegmans connection that they're bringing back the Flutie? Yeah, that's a story today he was referring to. Flutie Flakes is back.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We don't want to update that at all. We don't want to do Ed O's or Beasley Brand. Beasley Brand doesn't sound like it would be very good.
No, I said Josh O's, but then you're like Eddie Oliver, Eddie O's.
Yeah, Eddie O's.
Eddie O's. We talked about how the Bills might be losing a coordinator if things continue on this path. Well, if there are already odds out right now, the danger for the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, boy.
Greg Roman, plus 250 leading the charge. Mike McCarthy, plus 400. Kevin Stefanski got a lot of FaceTime last night, plus 600. Robert Saleh, who's he? He's the defensive coordinator for the Niners. Remember how much FaceTime he got, plus 700. Jason Garrett, Eric Bieniemy, Josh McDaniels, plus 2,000. Bill Cowher, plus 5,000. Neither of the Bills coordinators are on this list right now as you want to bet, your prop bet for the next head coach of Carolina.
Good. All right, let's get to NFL appetizers on the way next in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We'll go around the NFL and serve up today's top stories in bite-sized form, including, Gene, we have some hot kicker talk to relay as well. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.